There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 107 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. Glad you're along. Remember, podcast sometime over the next half hour or so of last hour will post up. You want to check something out there, you can go to our podcast tab on the front page of FMTalk1065.com, or better yet, just subscribe. You'll get them delivered to your smartphone. For Apple folks, you got the iTunes. If you're an old cranky Android user like me, you can get the Stitcher app. It works great. You get them delivered there. Or if you want to, Spotify. If you're checking out your tunes on Spotify, our podcasts are there. The TuneIn Radio app also has our podcast. Lots of places to get it. And remember, give us a whatever it is. Thumbs up, stars. But, you know, there's a bunch of different rankings they do on different podcast sites. Make sure to give us some thumbs up, stars, whatever you got there when you go. All right. And y'all say hello to my buddy, Devin Walsh from News 5 in studio. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Sean. Glad to be here with you.
Yeah, you got you. You finish up anchoring there at noon, and then you're over here. You thought you were done for the day, and then here I am.
No. I do the 5 o'clock, too, so I'm not done yet.
Well, no, but you have the whole midday normally to do things not here, so thank you.
I am so glad to be here, Sean, and to promote what WKRG and you are helping us with. Big deal. On Monday, we are having a Back the Blue telethon in honor of Officer Sean Tudor, as you know, who was shot and killed last Sunday.
Yeah, I started thinking about this when y'all started talking about this yesterday at News 5, and I said, holy cow, you know, this has been 11 months.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't
believe
it.
Because it's been not even a year's time that y'all did this for Officer Billow. Not even a year's time.
I know. When I heard the news Sunday...
We're not living in New York. We're not living in Los Angeles. We're in Mobile.
It's unbelievable. When I heard the news, I thought, not again. No, not again. Another young officer,
yep.
31 years old.
Yep.
Just, it breaks our heart. And so at WKRG last year when Justin Billa died, we said, what can we do? Mm-hmm. We have this platform. We have all these newscasts. We have our Facebook page, our website. What can we do? And I think the general public was saying the same thing. What can we do? We don't want to be helpless in this. We want to help the family. So we came up with this telethon, and it was so successful for Justin Billa's family. We raised tens of thousands of dollars. We couldn't believe it. And what was so neat about it is we had a lot of people calling, just donating maybe $10, $5,
right,
whatever they
we
could
all
give.
Want to do something, and it, you know, that it does it. It, I think, it satisfies maybe just temporarily, but a sadness in the hearts for what's going on. Maybe a family that you don't even know, but you know that story, and you know what it means to you to have law enforcement here in our city. And if it is $10, you know, I mean, it all adds up. And like you said, the outpouring of love last year was big. And I imagine it's going to be the same thing on Monday.
Oh, we know it will be. I remember last year when we were talking with Erin Billa after the telethon, her mother had said to her, you know, you've got a lot of thank you notes to write. And she said, Mom, if I started writing thank you notes, I'd be writing them for the next 10 years.
That's right.
Because so many people wanted to donate. And we know that the public will come through. So if you are have a little bit of extra cash, the telethon is from 6 a.m., so we're starting it really early through 7 p.m. But, Sean, I have to tell you this. Last year when we did the telethon for Justin Billa, we had planned to end it around 7 o'clock. Well, members of his precinct wanted to come in.
Okay, I remember this.
For the 10 o'clock newscast, 10 p.m. newscast. So members of his precinct came in, and that half hour that we were on the air, we raised the most money from the entire day because people saw those men and women in blue.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know what it was, just to hear them talk about their fellow, their co-worker, their comrade.
Right.
People just started, really started donating.
All right. So this starts starts Monday morning. Do you have a phone number already posted, or is that something you're going to put up?
We are going to post it on Monday. I can
because somebody
tell you
when
it
I
is,
talked about this earlier, somebody said, "What's the number?" Okay, you're going to keep we're going to keep it on.
People start calling a little bit early, so usually we don't announce it until right when it's ready for you to call.
See, that's the right way to do it. I would have just said, "Hey, y'all, here's the phone number." Then it would have been ringing all weekend. So you're going to post that number up. We're going to talk about this on Monday. So on Mobile Mornings, we'll be talking about it. Y'all will have started the telethon as you come on at 6, as we come on at 6. The telethon will already be ready to go. So it starts at 6. People can start calling right then. Just have a credit card ready. Do the donation that way.
Yes, that's the easiest way. And we have volunteers. It's not hard to get members of law enforcement and you, one of our media partners, to come in and help us answer phones throughout the day. So we are going to have so many people. In last year, we actually had the deputy in Baldwin County who was shot come in and answer phones. And he's doing really, really well. But he wanted to come in and help out. So, you know, when you ask people to help in honor of an officer, you have a lot of people lining up waiting to answer phones.
So y'all get ready for this. So make sure. Listen, if your schedule, whatever it is, if you're busy in the morning or busier in the evening or whatever, they've spread this out from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., there's a time y'all can get in the schedule here to call the number and make that donation. Let's talk a bit about last time we were talking about this, less than a year ago, the outpouring of love from law enforcement from around the country that came in for Officer Bill. And then it was specific to the patches they had donated for his son and all that. But I've already seen, looking at the WKRG.com website, too, law enforcement from different parts of the Gulf Coast and around the country. There's a place out of South Carolina, too, that was making some donations. This becomes not only the local family around it, but the back the blue you're talking about, that law enforcement sticks together around the country.
I mean, it was amazing. On Monday, we were live on the air when they were escorting his body from the Department of Forensic Science to Mobile Memorial Gardens. And Roseanne and I were actually anchoring that coverage at 3 p.m. We were on the air for about an hour. I mean, we were watching the Facebook comments come in. I mean, San Diego, New York, South Carolina, all over the country. And it is that law enforcement family. People feel the hurt all over this country because people have such respect for law enforcement. And when you look at this young man, only 31 years old, so handsome, so much of his life left to live. And I was reading a post this morning from his wife on Facebook, and she said that he was born to do this. He knew about the dangers, he took the risk, but that he was born to do this.
Yeah, he's doing it in military capacity and that in law enforcement. As always, we'll get to some technical questions here and you're going to get mad at me. Okay, so I think this is a great idea. Thank you for what you're doing. We call with the credit card. Do y'all swipe or write down? I guess they're calling. Okay, they're asking, like, if they call with the credit card, they'll talk to one of the, like, me or somebody who's working the phones?
Right. My understanding is they just write down the credit card
number. Okay, because they're worried that I can't punch the numbers in right. What, is that a slight on me?
I think that's what they're trying to say, Sean.
Sullivan, you're going to screw this up.
But I promise you, we've got police officers answering these phones, so we've done a number of telethons.
Y'all going to train me? Somebody will train me up?
Yes.
So quit worrying about it, unnamed texter. Somebody's going to train me up to do this correctly when this starts on Monday. And I'm hoping maybe to be in there, I don't know, either between the morning show and this show or in the afternoon. But people, I'll let y'all know on Monday and we'll remind you. Once again, this starts Monday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., although if it's anything like last year, I'm going to get you in trouble, may go a little longer.
I asked my boss that today, and I said, wait a minute. Last year, we were on at 10 p.m. That's one of our biggest newscasts.
Right.
And he said, and that's when he reminded me about the members of the precinct coming in. So if we have some members of Sean Tudor's precinct that want to come in and help out, we will go on at 10 p.m. because we want to do whatever we can to help.
Well done, and I can't wait to help out on Monday. Devin, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here, Sean.
All right. Y'all got any other questions, too, send them to me, and then I'll just forward them to Devin, and we'll get them answered. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Coming up, pretty tough story here. And this angle, when we're talking about it, and Devin and I were just talking about the fallen officer, Sean Tudor. And new information coming out yesterday that the gun used to kill Officer Tudor was stolen. All right. And we've had this discussion in the past on the show, even to the point, I think it was last year, Councilman Smalls talked about a fine for somebody who would have a gun stolen from an unlocked vehicle, which, you know how I like to deconstruct these things. Sometimes people have the spirit behind something, but have not looked at the line item here, because how are you going to prove the car was unlocked? How are you going to prove they were the person who left it unlocked? I mean, there are a lot of things here. And also, I understand the idealistic arguments, and I want you to make them. You've made them before, and phones are open at 343-0106, 343-0106. I get it. Idealistically, you shouldn't have to lock a single thing in your life, right? You're not supposed to steal stuff from other people. I get that. You're not in the, you're a victim, like people said in the past. It's like I'm going to be in trouble for being a victim. I get that too. At the same time, world's a tough place, right? You got to be pragmatic. I mean, why do you have locks on your doors in your house? Why do you lock your door? Even harkening back to something we talked about this morning, if you're going to carry let's say you're going to carry a handgun, conceal and carry, and carry in your vehicle, carry it on your person, you're saying something to me, which I like, by the way, I like you saying that, that you take your security, your safety into your own hands. I like that, y'all. But you have told me by doing that, that you know that something, you know, they're bad people, right? That it's, you're not a Pollyanna. So the idea of, there is a bit of hypocrisy here. If you're going to have that handgun, you're going to have that gun in the vehicle because you believe that there's issues with people not doing what they're supposed to do, but then you leave your vehicle open, don't you think that you're being hypocritical? I mean, you by doing that? Now, once again, I go back to same thing I've said before. I have real problems with government adding new laws, especially a law like this that I don't think is thought out of all the permutations and excuses and reasons why not. But the spirit of it, look at the stats here. I mean, the number of stolen guns, MPD has talked about it. Mobile Sheriff's Department has talked about it. This is a real issue. And these guns, I'm telling you right now, the majority of the time, these guns are not being used for the good guys. They're stolen and they're used for the bad guys. All right, grab a quick call here. David is in Mobile. Hey, David.
Chief Batiste even said on your airways that the number one source of illegal guns on the streets of Mobile are guns stolen from unlocked vehicles as well. So,
right, but then, you know, but I can play, let me play devil's advocate and just say, well, you know, you shouldn't have to, people are not, you're not supposed to be having your guns stolen. People aren't supposed to be stealing stuff, David.
I agree, but we all know that we don't live in Pollyanna, Sean. So here's a couple of ideas for your listeners that do choose to carry their handguns in their vehicles to help remind themselves or train themselves to look for their weapons before they go in the house in the evening. You know, in most newer vehicles, the key fob that unlocks and locks the vehicle from your key ring, if it's in the vehicle will not lock itself, and it will send you a little alert, usually a little beep-beep from the horn, to let you know that something's not right. If you attach your extra key fob to your gun or put it in your holster, if attaching it would interfere with the use of the gun, and you try to lock your vehicle, it will remind you that your gun is in your vehicle and you need to, you know, and it'll be like, oh yeah, I need to get it out. Another thing you can do, if your daily or at least your weekday routines are the same on a regular basis, like say you get home from work at 5:30 every morning, you can set reminders on your phones, both iPhone and Google, that say, you know, for the time you get home, and it'll, you know, give you a little ding, hey, you need to do this, and the reminder can be, check, make sure that the handgun is not in the car.
There you go. Duly added, the tips there, duly added. I would say that if you use the old adage, can I say this on the, well, Dalton, is the FCC working? They're not, right? Because we had the story like that they being non-essential, they're shut down. So I guess I can say this. Yeah, all those things are, I can say. I'm just clearing this in my head. You know, the old testicles, spectacles, keys, and wallet before you leave the house, right? I mean, it's not for, I mean, you can leave one off for ladies there, but, you know, you just add gun into the mix. Although, look at here. Devin in the studio, and then on the phone, our buddy Bill Riles. Hey, Bill.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. Bill Riles from News 5 checking in. Have you ever heard that thing that I just said? The
I have heard that. I don't say it very much, especially on the air, like you just did.
Right, but the FCC, I think they're shut down. I think I'm good. I don't.
I think you're okay. I think you're going to be fine. Nobody's listening.
That's right.
The FCC's not listening.
That's right.
I did want to add something, though. Last year, we did investigate stolen guns. And let me give you a couple of the shocking figures that came out of our report. The first one was, and I'm pretty sure you may have heard this before, is that last Mardi Gras, there were some reports of some 150-something cars being broken into at Mardi Gras and guns stolen. Mm-hmm. 130 of those cars were unlocked, according to Mobile Police.
Who leaves their... I mean, honest to goodness, out of all the places... You go to Mardi Gras and you don't lock your car? I'm the guy that hits the key fob 18 times.
Exactly right. It's just crazy. But the other shocking figure, and I think... Here's the deal. You've got that $800 Glock, or whatever they cost, in your car, and it gets stolen. And they sell for $40 to $80 on the street.
Wow.
So, I mean, think about that for just a second. That's the kind of depreciation your weapon just got because you left it in the car and it was unlocked.
I like you making arguments that a guy like me can understand. But, I mean, y'all's story on this and the discussion from the police department as well, that, number one, the recovery rate is like... anemic on those guns, and second of all, they're not being stolen to be used to give to some citizen to protect themselves in their own home. Those things are going to be used for crime.
Oh, and the other thing is that they're not just one person steals it and I have a gun. All right, one person steals it, they sell it to someone else. That person may use it in a crime, sells it to someone else. So those guns are turned over time and time again. So trying to keep track of them. It's just an incredible job for the Mobile Police Department. It just doesn't happen like that.
Now people are questioning which Glock you're talking about. Now, there are a couple of the Glocks that can get closer to that, but they're saying they're worried that you're overpaying for that Glock.
Oh, well, it's a hypothetical. You know what I'm saying.
So, what do you think about, and what did people say when you talked about, hey, should there be a law? I mean, we can say what's right, Bill, right, and agree, okay, this is what normal people think is good, but should it be under law?
Well, and here's what we got from Mobile's public safety director on that very issue. I know, because we talked to CJ in this very story about that situation. He had proposed it. He talked about it in the city council about we should make it illegal for people to leave guns in their cars and their cars unlocked when they have guns in there. Well, it's a fine thought, and it's a city official trying to do something to remedy the problem. But the fact is, once you do that and you're fined or penalized in some way, now you've become the criminal.
Mm-hmm.
You're the victim. Now right. You're the criminal.
Right. And then I can also see, 18 different ways off the top of my head that I could argue that it wasn't me that left it unlocked. It wasn't unlocked. Prove that it was unlocked. I mean, how do you enforce that?
Exactly. And, you have to volunteer that information. And the police, if they, investigate it, take your report, they can somewhat surmise whether or not the car was unlocked. Was a window smashed? It must have been unlocked.
Let's just say somebody didn't have a key to it.
Where the criminals are getting more aggressive, and they are smashing windows now, too.
But, they're going to listen. And then you say, okay, so what's the difference if, jimmied the lock open and I couldn't see that they did it and somebody smashed it? Either way, the handgun's on the street.
Exactly right. I don't see the point of leaving a handgun in my car other than I just forgot. The fellow we talked to, the prime example we talked to, the guy said, I just accidentally left it in my car and, go figure. That night it got stolen. I don't know what's true or what's not about that. Leave it in your car.
You know how we keep people from forgetting them is we in these guns we install some apps and the ability to call people and maybe check social media because nobody forgets their phone for long.
So yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I agree with David. I mean, there's some workarounds in there where there's some sort of something on your weapon or in your car, keeps you from locking it until you take the gun out or until you secure it, But I'm a big believer in people securing their weapons. On your other thing about locks, when I was in the military, the first thing they taught you to do was lock your locker, lock your box, because that deters crime.
Yes. Yes, it does. And that is for sure. Bill, thank you for checking in. And I think I'm going to see you over there on Monday at the WKRG studios.
We hope so. We'll be looking for you. And we need all the help we can get.
Absolutely. Bill Ross checking in from News 5. And we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 136, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. And what do I... Let me grab this call quickly here. And big thank you to our buddy Bill Rowles from News 5 for reminding us about that story. We're going to have this discussion next week. Hopefully get Bill in studio and talk about the facts behind this. And then, of course, what we do around here is get your opinion on these stories as well. But the sad news is Mobile Police Department yesterday releasing the fact that that gun, I think it was actually stolen from the Peach Place Inn, from an unlocked car. The gun, they say, was used to kill Officer Sean Tudor. All right, Les is in Mobile and up next. Hey, Les.
Hey there. So I want to tell you a story about that happened to me recently, well, about 2 years ago. My wife called me up and said a friend of hers locked her key in the car, and she knows that I've had an unusual amount of success getting cars to open.
Good. I'm going to keep you on speed dial. Les, I'm going to keep you on key. Hey, Les, I got to keep you on speed dial when we get off the air so I can send you over to help family members of mine when they do that. Okay. All right, so go ahead.
Yeah, I can do that. Anyway, so I went over there, and sure enough, I put the key in the car, and I had to pull it back a little bit. You know how you can do sometimes with worn-out keys. And it opened right up. Now, that car was not broken into. There was no sign of forcible entry because there was no forcible entry. I opened the key with my car.
Mm-hmm.
And I even tried this because I was told that there's only, and I'll say, X number of keys. If you want to talk to me off the air, I'll tell you how many that are made for these various cars. And there's not a huge number. And so the odds of this happening are not all that bad. And people have been caught going through parking lots trying their key. Now, these are an older car. You know, they could be electronic. You still couldn't start the car. But even the new cars have usually a little key that's in the fob. Even the cars that don't even have a key to start, you know, you don't put the car key in the ignition. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that earlier. They have a key also, and you can get into the car with that key in case you needed to. And I have a car like that, as a matter of fact. So I could use that key to get in and get the gun out of the car, and I could also use that key to get the gun out of someone else's car.
Right. Well, that's what I'm getting to, is that I understand the spirit, and do I want to change people's hearts on this? I really do, Les. As a person that is fully advocating conceal and carry, fully advocating people taking care of their own security, I'm all on board. I may or may not be one of those people, but I want people to take the best efforts they can to keep the guns away from the criminals. At the same time, if you make a law like this, you just went through a scenario. How do you, I mean, you come out and say, oh, well, your gun was stolen, your car was unlocked, the window's not broken. Well, that doesn't prove anything. That seems like, I understand the spirit, but we don't need another law. We need people just to police themselves to some degree.
That's true, and my wife just overheard our conversation and said, you remember I told you a few weeks ago I was somewhere, and she stuck her key in a car and opened it to get in, and it wasn't her car. So, you know,
oh, wait, whoa.
The same.
And it opened, she just walked up to a vehicle that looked like hers.
It was an older vehicle, but yes, walked up to the car, thought it was hers, and opened it and got in, and then realized this is not my car.
Holy
cow. So, you know, this happens, believe it or not, often, and there's not that many keys, and I encourage your callers not to say how many keys there are if they know.
Right.
But I'll be glad to tell you if you want to know.
And I imagine it's not many, unless I appreciate the call, and I'm just wondering this right now too. What's the statute of limitations on borrowing a piece of heavy equipment? Does anybody know the statute of limitations? I think I'm good. I think I'm good on this. I'll frame it this way. I may or may not have gotten a truck stuck like 18 years ago somewhere in North Baldwin County, and there may or may not have been an Aldott tractor nearby. And I may or may not have had a key to that same make of tractor. And I may or may not have started that tractor with that key, used it to pull my truck out of the ditch and the mud, and then put the tractor back where it was, well, almost within the same ruts of where it was parked. But I think I'm outside. I borrowed a tractor from Aldot back then, maybe, may or may not have. And that tractor key that I used to start it was not the key for that tractor, but the same make of tractor. So I get what Les is saying. Once again, this is right now, Mobile Police Department is pointing this out, as they have over the years, the number of stolen guns from vehicles. And now, tragically, guns stolen from an unlocked vehicle was used to kill Officer Tudor. I also am open-eyed enough to say, you know, I get it. I get it. They could, if your car's locked, they can break the window. I get that. I mean, there's nuance there, but the spirit is right. The law, I just don't see that we need another law on this. Maybe you disagree. You know, my buddy Jace, who does great tinting work for a living, he said, tint your windows, thieves will pass by a car. If they can't see in, they will pass by because they don't see in and see what's there the same way they do with locked cars. I guess that's probably, if people, you know, you see when people are casing vehicles, they do a lot of looking around, seeing if it's worth them trying to enter that vehicle. All right. Oh, yeah, and there's a bunch of people like Dan and others were talking about the number of people in that story that Bill was talking about that leave their car unlocked at Mardi Gras. That one, to me, I'm having trouble wrapping my head around that. If you're going to, don't leave it unlocked with a gun in it anywhere, but at Mardi Gras, if you're a person that on purpose, not because you screwed up, but on purpose, has walked away, unless you got like a Jeep or something, has walked away from your vehicle unlocked at Mardi Gras, please call in. Dalton, put them through the front at 343-0106. All right, please. We'll take your call first. If you purposely walked away from a vehicle that you wanted, you didn't want that vehicle to be stolen because you didn't want to see it again. You wanted the vehicle and you left it unlocked at Mardi Gras. I got to hear from you. All right, 143 FM Talk 106.5. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 148 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday, and a big thank you to my friend Devin Walsh from News 5 stopping by and talking about what's going on Monday. That telethon starts at 6, goes till 7 Monday evening, raising money for Back the Blue, and of course, to the benefit of the family of Sean Tudor. Tomorrow, speaking of slain Mobile police officer Tudor, actually, first of all, tonight from 5 to 8, the first visitation going on at Dauphin Way Baptist, and then tomorrow, a visitation preceding the funeral. I think it's from 9 to, I've seen 9 to 10 and seen 9 to 11, so just say starting at 9, another visitation tomorrow morning, but 3-hour window tonight from 5 to 8, and then tomorrow from 9 to either 10 or 11, and I think I've got, of course, the funeral to follow, and then the procession going out to the graveside that will go down Dauphin, go to McGregor becomes Azalea down to 90 out to Three Notch. So picture that route there if you want to show your love to the family, show your appreciation, honor fallen police officer. Find a place along there. Quite a lot of parking lots, big areas to set up safely and pay your respects to the family as the procession goes by along that route. Once again, it's Dauphin Street to McGregor. McGregor Crossing Airport becomes Azalea. Bunch parking there down to 90, out 90 to Three Notch. All right, we can grab some calls here, but I also want to talk to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins because, well, February 14th is now getting to be a reality. That Valentine's Day thing, right, Angelo?
It's definitely looming, and you and I still have a lot of time to not prepare.
Oh, yeah, not till the 13th would I get really stressed and start calling you. But there are people that are not procrastinators and more responsible out there.
Well, right, and we've seen some people buying all sorts of interesting things. We had a lot of the 2019 silver products in, so American Silver Eagles, the Britannias, the Somalia Elephants. A lot of people are actually buying those as a gift. Of course, the jewelry has been an extremely hot topic. We got a lot of really nice diamonds in stock right now. So if somebody's looking for a nice pair of diamond earrings, maybe a nice engagement ring or something like that, lots of stock in those as well.
All right. And also, y'all will buy, because you're looking for jewelry that we're not using or wearing, or maybe, you know, you've talked about it before, somebody has one earring and not the other or something like that. Y'all are always looking for that.
Certainly, whether it's a single earring, whether it's an old engagement ring, you know, broken or not, we're always looking. So if you've got gold and silver jewelry, maybe some sterling flatware, you're trying to get some money together either to do something fun for Valentine's or maybe pay off some of those old holiday bills, come by the shop and we'd be happy to make you an offer on your stuff.
All right. Give us directions. Come see you at the shop.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590 or go on to Facebook and like and follow Mobile Bay Coins there.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
All right, you too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins. A lot of texts coming in here, and I'm going to try to read through these, and I want to take your calls as well. And if I don't get your texts, I'm trying to read them as quickly as possible. This one from unnamed texter, but I can tell you, in law enforcement, because this text says, as an officer, we tell people to lock their doors. The open argument is if the car is left open, they don't have to replace their windows. My response is always, don't leave anything of value in plain view that would entice a criminal to enter your car. It's a tough thing. Is that not a... First of all, that is probably as real of a statement as out there, but it's sad. Right? I know people have done this with places along rivers and all that, that will not lock their doors of their camps and all that because it's more expensive to fix the windows. But that is a... Oh, it's sad. Sad we're in that. But that, once again, this person in law enforcement says, we tell people to lock their doors. Our open argument is if the car is left open, they don't have to replace their windows. My response is don't leave anything in value in plain view. Okay, that's kind of like what Jace was saying earlier with tinting. He goes on to say here, my wife goes to the gym after work. I make her change clothes and secure her purse and gym bag in the truck at work before driving across town. This way the criminal does not watch her secure her belongings and wait for her to leave. We have a lot of vehicle burglaries at gyms due to purses being left in cars. It makes sense, right? That's formulaic. Where would, you know, the criminal's thinking, where is there going to be the best chance of having somebody with some belongings in a vehicle somewhere like that? Although I still don't get the... Still have not seen anybody, and maybe it's because they're not listening, thank goodness, for purposely leaving their cars unlocked at Mardi Gras. Dan says of, let's see here. It's a long one here. All right. Dan says, no new fines. It is inherently unwise, irresponsible to leave your car doors unlocked anywhere, let alone during Mardi Gras. Thank you. However, it is the issue that people are leaving their cars unlocked with guns inside, or is the issue that there's a substantial population of lower-income individuals that cannot resist the opportunity of scavenging through people's cars or stealing in general? What if we get rid of laws instead? Let's start weaning people off government support and encourage personal accountability. Thereby encouraging job growth and companies looking upon Mobile as a more profitable city to begin a presence in. Dan, you sound like... Have you been to a Libertarian Party meeting lately? He went also says, what if we also... Yeah, then you're definitely... I've probably seen you at some Libertarian thing. What if we also legalize cannabis, thereby lowering the incarceration rate to a comical extent and also giving lower income individuals another outlet to affordably entertain themselves? One... that is not only healthier than alcohol, but less likely to potential violence. Or Dan, I know this is unrealistic, or how about just do none of them? Yeah, I know. Oh, I'm seeing, people are picturing, sending me pictures of their keys. They will run, yeah, I like this one. John says he'll run nearly all yellow and green commercial equipment. I get it. The one, I tell you what, the one I may or may not, I don't know what the statute of limitations is, but the one I may or may not have borrowed to pull a truck out of a ditch there in Baldwin County decades ago, if I had, was a blue piece of equipment. Blue. Listen, I know, and people were saying, I thought you like green. I like green pieces of equipment. I like orange pieces of equipment a whole bunch. But in that case, that tractor was nearby where there was a stuck truck, and I happened to have a key that was for a blue piece of equipment that started it. But I mean, this goes back to the conversation about keys opening cars. That's a tough thing, that if you say, once again, the spirit of this is correct. This is analog to me to what I say about the laws that were passed against texting and driving. I get the spirit of it. I get it. I don't want people texting and driving either. You can be against adding an extra law and not think the thing that the law is applying to is a good thing. You understand that. You can do that in this world. I know that the arguments out there are overly simplistic, and everybody's got to be everything good, everything bad. You gotta be open to nuance. And the nuance here is, just like with texting and driving, I don't think it's a good thing. I would argue back then, like I will now, that we have distracted driving laws on the books. Use those to encompass the texting and driving because it's distracted. Just make all distracted driving. Same thing here. I get this idea that Councilman Small and others want people to lock up their car, like law enforcement. Don't leave your gun in an unlocked car. I get that. But if you make a law that says it's a fine, how are you going to prove that the car was unlocked? You know, it's not just as simple as a broken window. And then you're going to say, well, there's a fine. So now somebody's going to, now you say, well, if they admit to it, somebody said, well, they'll admit to it that they had an unlocked car, and then you get the fine. Okay, so if there's a fine involved, let me just walk this through. Tell me if I'm right. Then people won't admit to the truth of the matter. Now you get people in a habit, they are lying to law enforcement because they don't want to get a fine for having an unlocked car and having something stolen from them and being a victim themselves. I'm telling you, it's just do this. Change people, and I think MPD has done this, and I think we should do it as a community. Just try to change people. Just double check. I mean, how'd you learn to start wearing your seatbelt, right? It wasn't just about enforcement. It was about like a motor function, motor memory, remembering to put the seatbelt on. Same thing here. Just keep talking about it. Build the habit of securing that handgun, taking it with you if you can conceal and carry, putting it in a locked glove compartment, locking the car, something like that without having to make a law there. But sadly enough, I mean, here's another story. We have all these guns stolen, and now it turns out that the gun used to kill Officer Tudor was a stolen gun. All right, we'll talk more about this coming up, I'm sure, on shows, and hopefully next week Bill Riles joins us, and we'll talk with him about some of the facts and figures from what he's done and digging into this story last year about this same subject. And Dalton, we got to thank the folks with the McDonald's families. This morning, I mentioned what is coming up next week. Tuesday from 4 to 5, next Tuesday, McDonald's is celebrating the rollout of their bacon cheese fries and Big Macs and quarter pounders with bacon on top. So what better way to celebrate those actual items with bacon than giving us the freedom to put bacon on anything on the McDonald's menu?
Yeah, thanks to the Barnes family sent out some cheesy bacon fries for us to try before they, and you haven't had time yet have any.
But worry, 2 o'clock comes soon.
I tell you what, I know it's illegal, but if I saw a plate of cheesy bacon fries sitting in a vehicle, I would for sure.
Would you at least check?
Yeah, I would at least check.
You do a little handle check?
Yeah, they're really good. And then when you can put bacon on anything for an hour next week, here's talking about all the possibilities.
Yeah, so here's how it works. So we got this note we're talking about this morning. It is next week from 4 to 5 p.m., so I guess that applies to every time zone. It moves wherever you are. 4 to 5 p.m., you can go to McDonald's and add 2.5 pieces of bacon to anything on their menu for free.
Wow.
Now, of course, everybody's going to try to stunt, right? And that means, yes, you can have a filet of fish with bacon. Mm. You can have McNuggets with bacon.
Mm-mm.
You can have a hot fudge sundae with, I think if they could put the slices of bacon in the way they put a celery stalk in a Bloody Mary, have them sitting in there, that'd be good. Crumbled bacon in a vanilla milkshake, okay. Fruit and yogurt, bacon parfait.
Oh, great.
It's all on the table, 4 to 5 p.m. next week as they celebrate what I'm about to sample, the bacon cheese fries.
They're good.
Big thank you to the Barnes family. We appreciate that. Feinbaum Show's on the way next.